Sports Day for Kia. Kia with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. Lumo Energy SA. For your energy needs, switch to Lumo SA today. And OTR. Run out of milk? No problem. OTR is open 24/7.
And a very good evening on this wet and wild, windy Friday night. This is Sports Day SA, Malcolm Blight and David Wilde for National Tiles Trade Club. You can sign up and save. You can save up to 10% off tiles and trade products. Exclusions apply. Malcolm, I hope you've kept dry. We had a bit of a storm about an hour ago.
I was safely indoors. But I must tell you something today, Dave, and I think this is... I was fascinated. I went to the chemist with Patsy today, and before we went in there... We had the temperature check from the lady at the door, which I thought was something fairly interesting. That I wonder if the AFL players and clubs with a staff have a protocol before they enter, when we do come back, whenever that may be, to do something like that. You'd have a medical person on the door.
It's a bit of a sad day when Malcolm Blight's outing is going to the chemist, but I hear what you're saying. I just want to talk about how confident Gil McLachlan and also the NRL chief are confident of restarting this year. And I'd like to ask you, what do you reckon would be the criteria necessary to get the game back up and running? I know the cases in some states are starting to taper off. South Australia only 11 cases of the COVID-19 day, which was great. The trajectory was down. But they must have some idea in their mind, Blighty, because there's still going to be a lot of cases out there. So is it more of a flattening before they can actually even think about it?
Yeah, I'd say so. What that day is, I'm not sure. I don't think anyone knows that. But one of the things I did today, David, just sitting down and thinking ahead, let's just say we've still got this day of May the 31st that Gil McLachlan said some time ago. I think NRL is something similar. But I did some numbers today on a piece of paper, and I've got it in front of me, and I'll just explain this to you. Give it another 4 weeks. So in other words, all of May to June. And I've got a start date. Just bear with us this. July the 1st is a Wednesday. If we played all of July, all of August, all of September, until Sunday, mid-October, Sunday the 18th of October, is 110 days. Got that?
Yep.
110 days, and you finish in mid-October. You talk to cricket, they push themselves back and take bit our season next year. So you try and work in with the other sports. Right. So the 144 games we talked about, if we had 36 double-headers, you could play every day with 36 double-headers over that with a couple of days off in between. That's at worst. If you play threes, that'd be even better. So you're only going to play every 6 days, each team average, under that system. Or, that's one option. The second option is there are 13 weekends in that era from the 1st of July to the 18th of October.
Yep.
You could get your 13 rounds in, as we normally do. That would be a 14-game season, which I think would still be okay. Nathan Buckley said, I don't mind if it's got an asterisk, I'll hold the Premiership Cup up. So yeah. I reckon there's two options they could easily do.
Yeah, 822-300-00. How can they get the season away? What will be the criteria? The NBA, Blighty, which is, they already lost $600 million. They upset the Chinese at the start of the year and lost a lot of TV rights. They're talking about the possibility of going to Vegas, Las Vegas, hiring out some of the big hotels, which some are quite empty at the moment, and playing to empty stadiums there. So getting the whole lot of the teams in America to Vegas, go and quarantine and then play. That's one thing. Spoke to Mark Bickley about this the other day too. He thought, you know, if South Australia and Tasmania, for example, are the lower amount of cases, why couldn't you play a lot more games in there?
All right, it's a suggestion, but one of the problems is with the basketball, you've probably got 10 or 12 players on your roster. You could cut it back to 8 or 9, really. There's 40. You need 40 for us with injuries over any period of time. Most teams play 36, 37, 38, 39 players because of injuries. How do you put 800 players? Where do you whack them in now? Where can that be catered for?
NRL, they were talking about the Sydney Showgrounds, which they had a lot of the old village there. I mean, they could do it. There are ways you could do it. You can move mountains if you have to.
Yeah, but, I mean, where do they stay? I mean, what do they sit in bunks? Well, you know, 20 per room.
Well, let's find out. 822-300-00. How do we get the criteria necessary to restart? Do you think it will restart? I'm a bit half glass empty. Bloody's more half glass full on this one. Hi, John.
Hello, boys. How you going, fellas?
What are your thoughts?
I see today that only four clubs would stay financial if there was absolutely no football this year.
Only four clubs would be financial, yeah.
Yeah, they would survive. West Coast, Collingwood, Hawthorn and Richmond. I mean, I've heard for years that Port Adelaide are on the gravy train and all the rest of it. It turns out the Precious Little Crows might need a little bit of support. Is that correct?
Oh, I think all clubs, but John...
Well, it's just funny, you know. Port Adelaide made the SANFL that much money from 1987 to 1990. And, you know, like... you get sick of Brad of One Tree Hill and Keith Highbury and all these people just bashing Port Adelaide, Jack during the week, Eddie Martin. You know, it turns out your Precious Little Club is exactly the same.
No, John, it's not my club, but you'd have to think the Crows are
not your club. I'm talking about them in general.
But you'd have to think the Crows are more financially viable than Port Adelaide. Port Adelaide have come out a minute ago.
They'd still need help.
Yeah, no.
John, one of the things, I mean, people, I just, you've got to understand.
Every club's been there. Collingwood have been there. Richmond's been there.
Of course. And it's an 18th share. The AFL collect the money from the TV rights. Let's use one instance. They collect that money on behalf of the clubs and then distribute it back to the clubs. Oh. All clubs get a distribution. It's not a handout. It's what they've earned. Now, some get a bit more than others. That's all. I always find it funny when people say, well, they're getting this and they're getting it. Every club gets a distribution.
What's the criteria to restart football or NRL? Have your say. Hi, Luke.
G'day, fellas. Just talking about how to try to get an isolated competition up. Have you guys heard of the NRL, the proposition to take over Moreton Island off Brisbane and hire out the whole Tangalooma Resort and then play the game in Queensland?
Yeah, I've heard that, and I've also heard them trying to go to the Sydney Showground. So at least they're thinking outside the square, Luke.
Yeah, just on that, Luke. Sorry, mate, go ahead. Buddy. No, I was just going to say, I said it earlier, that trouble is we've got 40 on the list. They could take 18, 19, 20 players. It becomes a hell of a nightmare for just logistics.
Didn't one of you guys suggest a remote location or and then one of the other guys poo-pooed it? Who was it that came up with the idea?
I originally said, like, weeks ago, why not when Northern Territory had three cases at the time. I said, why couldn't they go up and play it in Darwin, Alice Springs or Darwin, get them all out there for a while and get a few games going. And most people didn't like that idea. But now they are starting to think like that, Luke. You have to think of a place where you got minimal virus and perhaps on a downward trend and obviously test all the players.
South Australia seems like as good a place as any. I mean, we've got all the suburban ovals, which are relatively suitable. Maybe have them out in the outback somewhere. I don't know, like a mining town that's not being used at the moment something. Truck and bust them in for games. It's got merit. I think it's got legs for sure.
Good stuff, Luke. And Bloody, that's how you normally think outside the square. You're just saying, how do you house 40 players in a team? Well, you build it. You build places for them to stay. And even if you had to go out into remote areas, as long as the ground was in good nick, and you have the cameras, there won't be any crowd there. They just need something on TV. I think we're all hanging out for that.
Yeah, so what do the players do for the other 22 hours they're not playing or training or all that sort of stuff? I mean, you've got to look at the welfare of the person too and their families and all that sort of stuff.
Well, I reckon the players would sacrifice a bit just to get paid.
Well, they don't have to at the moment. They're already getting paid.
Yeah, if they don't play, though, they're going to lose up to 50 or 60% of their pay. I mean,
yeah, I get that, but of course they want to play, but I'm not sure.
Why couldn't you? Why couldn't you go to the outback and build something there?
Let's have a wager. One of our wagers. You know what that means?
Yes.
It's just a little drop of whatever. I'll guarantee you. No, I won't guarantee you. I'll have a bet that the NRL don't do it.
NRL,
they won't move. Don't move the whole shooting, the whole circus, let's call it the circus, the whole of the NRL to a spot in Queensland on an island somewhere.
What about the showgrounds? Would you be more with that if they went there and closed down?
Yeah, same.
They won't?
Exactly the same. No. I mean, it's a good thought. You just think of the logistics of it. All those people, no. I try and think outside the square. But I'm not sure that's living, David.
See,
I'm not sure that's living.
I like the basketball going to Vegas, hiring out the hotels and keeping everybody separated and playing. I mean, they need to play.
They've got seven or eight players, David.
Oh, no, there's more than that on the roster.
They only have 12. They have two rookies at the end. They have a player in 10. They only need to take 8, 9 or 10. No, if you don't want the bet, that's fine. That's okay.
I'll take it, Miss. I reckon I'm up a couple on you. What's our poll today?
Oh, poll. Yeah, here we go. The poll. Poll, thanks to Australian Made, boost your sales with the Australian Made logo. Apply online to certify your products as Australian. AustralianMade.com.au/apply. Don't forget, buy Australian Made. Now, the poll today, David, this is a beauty. The poll is the right forward flank. We've called it that, haven't we?
Yeah, the best Crows and power.
The composite team for the right forward flank in the history of both Port Adelaide and Adelaide.
Yep.
The poll is the four players: Darren Jarman, Shane Bond, Brett Burton and Matthew Liptak. All played a fair bit at half forward and other spots like most players do today. But there you go. Jarman, S. Bond, B. Burton and M. Liptak. Everyone.
A lot of comments on this too and say, well, why would you bother having four players when Darren Jarman's name's mentioned? He's a lay-down mazere. He's 90% of the time to get that position. Brett Burton, three, Liptak, three. Shane Bond, four. So we've got Treadray at centre-half forward, Sean Burgoyne on the other flank. It looks like Darren Jarman, absolutely, he's got that one. And in the pockets, Betts and Robbie Gray, full forward, Tony Modric. So the forward line's done and dusted.
Isn't that a great team? Now, a couple of weeks ago, maybe even last week, David, we started talking about the winning history of clubs, you know, and who's won the most games in their whole football life in their clubs. Collingwood are the highest with 61% of their games. It's a great record, Collingwood, isn't it, if you look at it? Carlton just behind them and then West Coast Eagles. Now, in sixth spot is the Adelaide Football Club. Out of the 18 teams, you can almost ignore Gold Coast at the moment because they're so low. St Kilda is 17th, would you believe? 39% of their games they've won. They haven't been great, have they? And Port Adelaide are in seventh spot. So the Crows, the two Adelaide teams, sitting sixth and seventh in the all-time winning games percentage.
That's flawed, though.
Pretty good, you know.
It's flawed, Blighty, because Carlton, using Carlton's history, what if you took Port Adelaide's history over 100 years?
I'm talking about the AFL since they've been in the AFL, mate.
Yeah, but you're talking Carlton since 91, or you're talking Carlton since 1900?
No, I'm talking since they were no good in the 1900s. Don't forget, everyone's had their poor years, just like anything.
Okay. So I'll come back there, but you've also got the bogey team, so I just want to go to Albie first. Hi, Albie.
Oh, yep.
Yeah, g'day. Tom, I just wondered, have you ever played football in the tropics?
In the tropics? What are you talking, Cairns?
Darwin, Catherine, around there.
Oh, they played a lot of footy in Alice Springs and Darwin, even Cairns. I've been up there calling the games.
No, I know that. I've played footy there. But what I'm saying is, have you ever played a game of football on one of those grounds?
No, not personally.
In Darwin and that?
No.
Yeah, well, you know what happens, don't you? You lose quite a bit of skin and stuff on those grounds. They're hard as concrete.
Oh, they could water. They could make the grounds. They could water that, though.
You couldn't get a worse situation for becoming infected or something.
No.
Yeah, okay.
So,
we actually play games here now.
They're well watered. That's the whole point.
Okay.
That's the whole point. Those grounds are concrete. Malcolm, you must know that.
Yeah, no, look, I've actually played there, not as far north as that, but what you do, they're playing at Marara now, they're playing at Traeger Park in Alice Springs, and the grounds, when you look at the grounds during that pre-season, they've done a lot better. I'm sure that caller has certainly played there. Look, I saw a lot of games in Cairns, a number of games, and the grounds were, don't forget it's during the wet season, which is their summer, so the grounds are pretty wet and soft. Now, there's got to be some there that if you play in a different time, they'd be very rock hard.
Yeah, it's just, most definitely. But it's just, we've got to think, as I said, outside the square. If we're going to get games underway, there must be provisions. We don't know what the criteria would be. It's got to have something to do with the virus, let alone where you're going to play. But I'm sure the AFL brains trust are thinking about that. Blighty, we're going to take a break. We're going to speak later to a young lady that came all the way from Croatia to play football with the Norwood Football Club in the Girls League. And unfortunately, we know what's happened. She's come across here and now she can't go home because they've had earthquakes and lockdowns and that back in Croatia. So we'll speak with Anna Barisic and also Matt Corby from the grounds. Thank God the greyhounds are still going. Give you something, particularly you, Gotti, something to do during the day.
Now, yeah, and you mentioned this before, David, and just before you go to break, I'm going to ask you when you come back.
Yeah.
Adelaide Football Club has a great record against a lot of clubs, and so does Port Adelaide. But what's the worst result? Which team has beaten both Adelaide and Port Adelaide more often?
I reckon
than
I know
not?
Port Adelaide, and I'd say it's North Melbourne, because at one stage it was about 13-1 in North Melbourne's favourite. So I'd say they'd be the bogey team for Port.
Yeah, they're sitting in third spot, so we'll get another crack at it.
What about your former team, Geelong?
Yes, very good. That's it.
Well, most teams struggle.
That's
there.
Port Adelaide. Yeah.
And
so
the Crows.
You can come back and do the Crows. Who's the worst performed? Think about it during the break, because we're going to go to a break now.
All right.
Come back and think about it.
Malcolm Blight, David Wildey, Sports Day. So you can ring any time, 822-3000. Time now, though, to go to Bristol Made Sea Coffee Break.
Sports Day for Kia. Kia with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. Lumo Energy SA for your energy needs. Switch to Lumo SA today. And OTR. Treat yourself at OTR to a delicious snack.
Yeah, welcome back to Sports Day SA. Malcolm Blight and David Wildey for Lumo Energy SA. 100% Australian owned and 1,000% about you. We're talking about the Crows and Port Adelaide, the winning record. Pretty good when you consider that Port Adelaide in the competition in 97. We're not talking pre that. And the Crows 1991. Was it, Malcolm, 6th and 7th? Is that what you said? 6th and 7th
on the list. And just to get back to that worst result for Port Adelaide, you mentioned Geelong was their worst result. Can you figure out who Adelaide's worst result was in this time?
Against which club? I don't think they play that well against Collingwood. I'd say Collingwood and West Coast would be two that come to mind, because I've been over
there.
You're
kidding.
No, I've been over there many times, the thrashings in the West. They never win there.
Well, you're quite right. Collingwood are 36%. They've only won. And Eagles are second with 44. So you've actually done pretty well there. You've got three out of the four asked about. That's
pretty good. Where does Sydney rate? Sydney have always had a pretty good record against Port. And I'm not sure about the Crows have beaten Sydney in Sydney, but they've been beaten over here. Does Sydney feature at all?
Yeah, Sydney do, actually. They feature second behind Geelong as the team that Port Adelaide have trouble with. So you've done very well there. I did that today, and I got a couple right. I didn't get them all right, I must say. Now, listen, what about Flashback Friday, mate?
You going to get into this now? Yeah, and you can reach for the facts on opioids too. Visit reachforthefacts.com.au.
Yeah, reach for the facts. There we go. Flashback Friday. Do you like figure skating in the Olympics?
I didn't mind Torvald and Dean many years ago.
Yeah,
didn't mind watching them.
Well, it started in 1948. It's the first time US figure skating started. In 1973, do you remember this, David?
73.
I vaguely remember this. The first mobile phone call was made in Manhattan.
No, I don't.
By the Motorola company. Remember the big box and all that? For
like
those
the big
who remember
brick.
It?
They were bricks, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. Now, this is one of the great days in South Australian sport. In 1996, SA grabbed an exciting draw with WA to win their Sheffield Shield. That Adam Gilchrist made in that first innings for WA, 189 not out, and they ended up getting beat. South Australia hung on. They were 9 for 208 at the end. Greg Blewett made 72, and they were 134 runs short of WA, but the draw gave them the Shield back in 96.
I was there at the ground working for 5AA. Peter McIntyre was a not out batsman. They just Jamie Siddons actually batted with a hamstring injury, and I think he made 4 off about 100 balls, Blighty, something like that. He hit one boundary.
It was exciting.
But just trying to, because all South Australia had to do was draw the game to win the Shield.
Draw the game because they finished on top. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing
now,
stuff.
You know what the poll was this day last year? Should the grand final medal or the most valuable player medal, that like the girls Brownlow, be named after Erin Phillips? Because of her deeds in AFLW. The result of the poll was yes, 89%, no, 11%.
Wow.
I think somewhere down the track, she will be honoured like that because she has been a trailblazer. And today's birthday.
Yeah, Daisy Pierce as well, I think. Hey, just a bit of I think this is breaking news. AFL umpires are going to take a 50% pay cut, could increase to 70% if season is postponed past May. So everybody's getting the clip there.
Yeah.
And Darren Jarman, well, he's dropped down a bit. It was in the 90% for the Crows and Power side, the half-forward flank. He could play anywhere, DJ. A, 82%, Brett Burton, 8%, Liptak, 4%, and Shane Bond, 6%. In the poll.
Yeah, okay, so that's good. Now, yesterday, I forgot to mention this, we're going to have a bit of a Port Adelaide day. Brad Ebert was 30 yesterday, so the great lineage of the Ebert name carries on. And Trent McKenzie, a guy that I had a bit to do with at the Gold Coast, now with Port Adelaide also, turns 28 today. Now, yesterday, David, we started with the Glenelg theme song a couple of nights ago, and last night I forgot to do the Port Adelaide one. So because we've got a couple of birthdays, I reckon we should now play our song tonight, which is the Port Adelaide song.
Day and by night. That's the old Sandfall song. I reckon Sydney Swans have got that for their... the same tune, haven't they, Bloody? Swans do the same. Cheer the red and the white.
Red and white, obviously different words, And on this day in 2003, Scotty Thompson played his first game for the Crows coming back from Melbourne and against Collingwood, and they won by 6 points. So they actually beat the Collingwood that day. And he ended up playing another 269 games, which was great. I'm sure he'll be one of the nominations in the centre of the ground for our composite team between Port Adelaide and the Crows.
I wonder if he'll make it. His record is unbelievable. But then you've got guys like Rashido, McLeod, Wanganeen, Tyson Edwards has been around the mark, 300 game. There's a lot of Travis Boakes played a lot of football. The Corns boys
Andrew Jarman, Rory Sloane, Peter Burgoyne. Peter Burgoyne was a bit of a favourite of mine. So there's a lot of really good players going to go through there. But that will unfold after tonight when we name the right half forward flank winner in our team, David.
Have you got your draft quiz tonight or not? Or we're not doing that tonight?
Yeah, of course I have.
All right,
please.
We've got about a couple of minutes before we go to a break.
Okay, here we go. In 2015,
yes,
pick 15 for the Adelaide Crows was a youngster from the Eastern Under-18 team. He's currently played 27 games and is just not quite making his mark over the last two or three years.
Pick 15.
Early pick.
I'd say it's either Tommy Doday or Jordan Gallucci, one of those.
Okay, you're 50% right.
Tommy Doudet's only played 20, you said 20 games, hasn't he? 21 games.
20, yeah,
we'll go
that's
with Gallucci,
right.
The number seven.
Yeah, good deduction. Jordan Gallucci is 100% correct.
Okay.
And for Port Adelaide in 2016, pick 18 from East Perth. You should get this one.
Pick 18.
Played 57 games so far.
I know this one. East Perth. I know this one. Sam Powell-Pepper.
Yes, very good. I thought you'd get that one.
And I reckon...
So there's some really...
I reckon Butters was pick 18 also for Port Adelaide. They had a couple of good ones there too. So do you actually like Powell Pepper in his new role, don't you, for Port Adelaide? Not that we've seen a lot of it, but you think maybe get up the forward and be harassing and chasing?
Yeah, I like pinch hitting in the midfield. I think he actually his decision-making with the ball has got to get better. So if you've only got one decision to make, tackle or kick it, get it and kick a goal, I think that's a really good thing for him. That's a shame. I'm not seeing him,
And you mentioned Brad Ebert's birthday. I hope he can get to 300 games. I think he played 76 for the West Coast Eagles, played a heap for Port Adelaide. So he's had that head knock, so that's always going to be a bit of worry when you get hit round the head. But he did play in round one and... hopefully get those games up, Malcolm. But 300 games, terrific effort.
Yeah, Jeff, obviously Russell, the superstar, and Brett too. I mean, been a great family, hasn't it?
We're going to go to a break. Plenty more to come. Malcolm Blight and David Wilde. Anna Barisic, young Croatian girl, will join us shortly. Looking forward to that Nord recruit of the year, but so far she has not played a game.
Sports Day for Kia. Kia with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. Lumo Energy SA for your energy needs. Switch to Lumo SA today. And OTR. Treat yourself at OTR to a delicious snack.
Welcome back to Sports Day, SA. Malcolm Blight and David Woody for Tyre Power, your trusted tyre experts. Interesting story here, Malcolm. We've got a young lady from Croatia who came out to play for Nord after Nord had been there trying to, you know, the men and the women have been over there to have a look at Croatia. She's come over here. Now there's no football. She can't get back to her homeland and well, it's all turned pear-shaped.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Just looking at they actually played a game over there when the Norwood team, both the teams, as you meant, the men and the women's, and they played on a soccer pitch. Now, funnily enough, David, years and years ago, I played on a soccer pitch overseas in Athens, actually. Carlton played the rest of Australia. I was playing for Australia at the time. And we played on a soccer pitch, 11 aside. It was a terrific game, actually. It was good. You kicked goals from full back, nearly. But I would have been fascinated to see this game in Croatia.
Yeah, well, Norwood have identified Anna Barisic, too, as a real talent. She's come out here hoping to play footy, but, of course, we know the world has changed. Anna, thanks for your time. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you for this opportunity to have an interview.
How are you feeling? You come over to Australia, you want to play for Norwood, it's all exciting stuff, and then everything got turned around really quickly.
Yeah, well, it's been a bit tough, you know, to even make this decision to come and now this happens. But I'm in a really great club, and I think that if anything, I'm going to be taken care of while I'm here.
Yeah, Anna, just how did this... you must have played at some other sport. Did you play soccer or something like that before you obviously moved into the AFL arena?
Yeah, I played soccer a bit, but it wasn't anything professional, just for a bit with a team in Croatia.
Now, where did you first see the game of Australian rules football being played?
When I came to training and I saw them playing. I haven't ever heard of AFL before.
So the first time you actually kicked the football, it's certainly a lot more different to a soccer ball.
Yeah, it was a bit different, but, you know, I liked it from the first second I touched the ball, so I stayed in it and played ever since.
And you're offered a scholarship, Anna, to come over here to play for Norwood?
Yeah, the club's been really amazing. They've taken care of me, and I met some amazing people like Lavish family, David Todorovic and his family, and Rachel Osborne and Siwa's apartment, who just made sure that I'm, you know, that I have a place to stay, that I have a scholarship to support myself while I'm here, and just made this dream that I have come true.
Yeah, now, you speak pretty good English. Do you learn that at school? Is that part of the curriculum in Croatia?
Well, we do have an English language in school, but I just, you know, listened to a lot of music in English and wrote some stuff also in English. And just through that and through school, I kind of got into really like this language.
Yeah, now, what do you think, I mean, you're 22, so you've got a lot of years ahead of you, and if you can make a go of this, there's a real career now in the AFLW. What's the hardest thing about the game that you found? Picking the ball up off the ground, marking it, kicking it, handballing it? What's the hardest thing for you?
The hardest thing for me is basically to just get off the field when the game finishes. I can't stop kicking the ball.
Oh, that is fantastic. Now, have you kicked many goals? Come on, we love people that kick goals in our game. Are you a goal kicker?
Well, I think I could be. There's some potential.
Now, Anna, you've come in to play footy. We know football's off everywhere, the men and the women's, but you can't go home at the moment. Has there been an earthquake recently in Croatia?
Yeah, there's been a really huge earthquake in Croatia, and Croatia is obviously very close to Italy, so they had a huge lockdown. They basically locked every town, and it's really tough there at the moment. So I'm really happy that I can stay here and see what happens with the season in this league, and to probably stay and get the chance next year.
And obviously you've left family behind. Who have you left? Any brothers and sisters? Obviously mum and dad. Who have you left behind?
I've left four brothers and a sister back home. And, you know, they're a bit younger, so they're, at the time I left, they were really mad at me for leaving them back at home. But I've always been a free spirit, you know, so they had to let me. I would have gone anyway.
What's your first impressions of Adelaide and Australia, whatever you've seen? You like Australia?
To be honest, I haven't really seen much of Australia because at the time I came, I had to unpack, you know, and just get into routine. And by the time I got into routine and I was ready to go around, the lockdown happened. And
yeah, it's been pretty tough for everyone. So you're hoping now you can stay right through the year, and if you can't play this year, you can start early next year.
That's basically my plan, and I think with the help of people that I mentioned and the club itself, which has been really great, I think that it might be possible, and my dream is still alive.
Yeah, well, good luck. Great to have you over here. I know it's not great circumstances, but we'll watch out for your name. And as Blighty said, get out there and kick a few goals when the season starts. And all the best, Anna.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Anna Barisic, a young lady from Croatia, came out to play football. Norwood identified her, Malcolm, and a real talent. She's come out in, of course, as we said, we know what's happened with sport all around the world.
How courageous is that, David, to take it on? And what an adventure for her. I mean, it's a beautiful country too, Croatia, but a wonderful, wonderful challenge for her.
I like your question. What did mum and dad and the family think? She said, I'm coming anyhow. They could not stop me.
Yes.
Anna Barisic there for Tyre Power. Great deals, brands to trust. Save $100 on four Pirelli Dragon Sport tyres at Tyre Power. And also, go ahead and treat yourself at OTR to a delicious snack or frosty beverage. You've earned it. Our guest there was Anna Barisic, young lady playing for Nord in the Sandville. Hasn't played yet, but hopefully gets a chance later in the year. Back with more shortly.
Sports Day for Kia. Kia with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. Lumo Energy SA. For your energy needs, switch to Lumo SA today. And OTR. Treat yourself at OTR to a delicious snack.
Welcome back to Sports Day SA. Malcolm Blight and David Wilde. Time to talk greyhounds. The Angle Park Greyhounds are still racing, and thank God they are, Blighty, but it's giving us something to have a look at. And we can talk to this CEO of GRSA, Matt Corby. Matt, thanks for your time.
That's a pleasure, David. Good evening, Malcolm, as well.
It must be a strange feel. We can see the dogs going around. Obviously no crowd at the moment. How are you handling all that?
We're going okay. It's a challenging ride. I've actually been speaking to a few people today, saying, you know what, we're very fortunate that we've got any show at all. You know, so we're one of the privileged people to be running a business at the moment, and so we've got to make every post a winner with all of that. But it's a very different beast than the one we've known. That goes without saying.
Yeah, Matt, I'm fascinated. You know, revenue. How's that in an overall picture? With people not being there, you know, people bet on the track, I get that. Is your revenue down a little bit, to, say, this time last year? Have you done those numbers?
Yeah, Malcolm, it's interesting. There are a few forces at play here, and really, in a practical sense, we've probably got about a couple of weeks of data and one telling week of data to go by. But here are the factors, I think. First of all, with all the retail outlets closing, pubs and clubs, etc., that's obviously produced a significant hit for Tabcorp or UBet in this state. Separately, you've got a whole lot of people with an unusual amount of time on their hands, and they're not competing against so many other sports betting options. And that should factor in isolation should be good for wagering. And then you've got the obvious issue in the background, which is how many people have been affected in terms of their ability to put aside some expendable income.
Yeah.
I think a whole lot of people will be bunkering down who might have been regular punters in happier days.
Matt, are the owners and trainers really keen to keep the show on the road?
Oh, it's really important. Listen, racing is a pretty unique product, and I know that there are so many people suffering at the moment, and people might look at racing and say, "Well, why do they get the right to go on?" But it's an enormous employer. Its tentacles reach out far and wide, outside of just the people who get on the back of a horse or who box a dog. It's a massive contributor to the state's economy. It has a $400 million impact in SA alone, and it's a multi-billion-dollar industry nationally. And the fact is, there's also a welfare challenge here, which is if we can keep these horses and dogs running, that means incomes coming in. It might be different than the levels of income we've known in the past, but hopefully we can manage that in a way which keeps our people, both the people who run the business, the people who put the show on, and our racing horses and dogs an opportunity to be looked after. So it's a real challenge, and it starts with trying to have continuity in the business, and that means we've got to put make every post a winner in terms of social distancing and the measures we employ at our race meetings.
Matt, I was really interested and really keen when you went to six dog field, you know, taking three and six boxes out. Have you done any studies on that yet? First of all, from a revenue point of view, and secondly, from a safety point of view?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. So in terms of the interference and the run, we're certainly seeing some anecdotal evidence that it can help on an injury front. So that's certainly something to consider. From a punting perspective, where just so it's clear, what we did when we introduced six-dog racing, we reduced the number of dogs in the field, obviously, but we also reduced our weekly number of race meetings by one and our weekly number of races, because six-dog racing holds slightly less per race, but the fact that you've got you're only using 75% of the number of dogs to do it, you can put on essentially about 33% more races. And all in all, so it comes out in the wash. And it's, I think, as you've seen around the country, Malcolm, the notion of eight dog fields being the norm in an environment where racing schedule is so saturated, and where we're having these challenges in the background with drought and fire and now COVID-19, G6 doesn't look all that unusual anymore. It actually stood out a bit more. We might have got there one way or another anyway.
Matt Corby, GRSA CEO, Greyhound Racing South Australia. Hey, Matt, the Adopt a Greyhound program, is that still going?
Yes, so we had a temporary delay over maybe 2 or 3 weeks, but we're really trying to crank up again. We've got two issues. There was a recent gastro outbreak that we had to deal with, and we've also had the COVID-19 issue of how we deal with people. There's a lot of interaction in terms of us getting dogs from properties, giving them to foster carers, and also enabling the transfer to future adopters. So we've had to sit down and work through all of that to get our processes right, but we're looking as though we'll be back and operating properly from about later next week.
I can't wait, Matt, when things are in full speed. We'll get back to Chase's restaurant, have a glass of red, and watch the dogs go around, and hopefully that's sooner rather than later.
What a fantastic idea that is, David. I greatly look forward to that occurring. I can't tell you how much.
Good idea. Matt Corby there for Angle Park Greyhounds. He's the CEO and speaks very well too, so at least that's going around. Great to have it still going too, Bloody.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I like my little punt. You know, we have a few dollars each way and a bit of fun. And when you're back a winner, it's quite exciting. So, yeah, I like the dog racing. I really do.
Yeah, it's good, lad. And let's hope they can get things in full swing soon. Open season at Kia. Match-winning deals and Australia's best 7-year warranty across the range. Hey, Blighty, another big show. You had an interesting chat about the draw, how they could possibly squeeze the game in, and what footy's going to look like to get back.
Yeah, I know. I've got this date of the 1st of July in my head. I don't know why. You know, it gives them an extra 4 weeks, and hopefully that curve that we've talked about and the medicos give it the all kill you. What happens from there? We can get a season in, David, if we can get going by then or even a little bit after. As I've mentioned, 13 games, 17 games. Doesn't matter. Nathan Buckley, just to repeat, said, I don't care if it's got an asterisk. If we hold up a premiership cup, we'll count it. And I agree with him.
Darren Jarman, hands down, one of the half-forward flanks. Some great comments coming in. Cam said, why bother with a best-of-four poll when Darren Jarman's one of the four? D. Jarman, Treadray, and Sean Burgoyne, that's a half-forward line. And the full-forward line was Betts, Modra and Robbie Gray. It's a pretty good side as we speak. We'll be starting on the centre line next week. Another thing we spoke about, the Crows and Power winning percentage, not bad given that they've only been the Crows since 91 and Port 97.
Yeah, it's a really good patch of work that now, isn't it? It's a really good number. And they sit pretty well in a competition for those that have been in it for that long. Obviously, Gold Coast Suns being the outlier at the moment. But no, I reckon both clubs have can hold their head up high and say they've absolutely contributed to the AFL.
Mate, you have a great weekend, and I'll see you Monday between 6 and 7, bloody. Bye for now.
Bye, David.
Sports Day for Kia. Kia with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. Lumo Energy SA. For your energy needs, switch to Lumo SA today. And OTR. Run out of milk? No problem. OTR is open.